Betsy with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I'm so happy to welcome somebody who, well, I don't know, we're not going to say he's weird, but he certainly knows a lot about weird. And it is a Nat Geo book, and I want to say gift season is coming up, and we have Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, and then, of course, the biggest gift day of all, which is every day if you have a kid in your life. So I want everybody, if you have a kid in your life, I have the perfect gift for you to give them. It is called Weird But True, Know It All, The Middle Ages. And it is by Michael Bergen. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Oh, I love this book. I love this book. I'm history crazy and Middle Ages I love. And then, this one is so fantastic. It's just filled with everything.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, of course, to be working for Nat Geo is in a way to be playing for Nat Geo because it's so much fun.
You're right. I mean, I feel very fortunate to be able to do these books for them. This is the second one, and I'm actually working on the third right now.
Well, their books are always so wonderful. And, of course, the fact that you get to do one that's called Weird Weird Things.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say that I'm weird, too. I won't be offended.
Okay, well, perhaps members of your family have occasionally suggested that, right?
Yes.
But what's better than that? I mean, you're a great writer. You've written some historical children's books.
I've written a lot of history for kids, a lot of biographies, great empires, presidents, you name it. I've probably written about it.
I know you wrote the Teddy Roosevelt one because I got that for a kid.
Oh, great.
Again, Teddy Roosevelt is one of my favorite characters, so I read anything. I'll read a comic book about him. Did you know a lot about the Middle Ages when you started this book?
I did not. I was a history major in college, and I did take one course in the Middle Ages decades ago, but that was really focused on Europe, and with this book, we really wanted to make it a global look at that time period of the Middle Ages. So I learned a lot about empires in Asia and the Americas and Africa that I knew nothing about before.
Well, of course, and you're right. It used to be that Middle Ages were, what was going on in Europe, because what was going on in Europe might not have been the Middle Ages for other civilizations because they were advanced.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we sometimes call it the Dark Ages in reference to Europe, but I think when you look at the world as a whole, that's certainly not true with all the great learning and inventions that were going on in the Islamic nations and in China, particularly.
And they were at their peak over there in China.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And I loved Timbuktu. Don't remember.
Oh, right.
When I was a kid, I don't know why we used to say we're going to Timbuktu. I think in those days when kids ran away from home, they'd say, I'm going to Timbuktu.
Yeah, same thing for me. I remember that as a kid. It was always kind of like this, you didn't even know if it was a real place. It was just always kind of thrown out there. But then you see what great empire they had that was centered there.
Yeah, thinking about it, I'm not sure if it was the kids who said we were going to Timbuktu or if the parents were saying, we're going to send you to Timbuktu.
Right.
But, I mean, that word is so much part of my childhood. And to know there was a heck of a university there. That would have been a nice place to send us.
That's right. I think it was about 25,000 students at one point.
Yeah.
And the whole empire was, was built on gold. And I know that when one of the big kings went to Mecca for a pilgrimage, he brought like a ton of gold with him to kind of show off his wealth.
Yeah. So maybe we should have been sent to Timbuktu. We'd have come back with gold.
That's right.
Oh, there's just so much. I knew a lot about Middle Ages in Europe because I've done a lot of study in that era. And because I lived in England, I traveled to so many places in England that were very relevant in the Middle Ages. So, of course, I knew a lot, but as you said, and the same with Paris, because I went to Paris a lot, so I knew about Notre Dame and all of that. But tell us, what are some of the fun things that you discovered that really surprised you?
Well, there's a couple that I really enjoyed. One was about animals being put on trial. If a farm animal got out and damaged property or hurt a person, they were actually put on trial, which I thought was kind of unusual, and that kids might get quite a visual image of seeing a horse or a pig sitting in the courtroom being tried.
I can tell you about that one. If my grandfather had a choice, he would have put my grandmother's goat on trial because that goat hated him. Now, she kept him tied up next to the porch, and so she'd sit there on the porch in a rocking chair shelling peas, and her goat was very happy to be with her. But when he'd get loose, he'd chase my grandfather, and and sometimes right up a tree, literally. He would.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he would have had that goat arrested so fast.
That's funny. The other one anecdote I really like is about a Danish king named Harald, who ruled in like 9th or 10th century. He was known for unifying different Danish tribes and kind of forming the first Danish nation. And he was also known for having one diseased tooth that was kind of bluish black. And so he picked up the nickname Harald Bluetooth. And then centuries later, an engineer was working on a project to connect electronic devices wirelessly, phones and laptops and all that. And he read about Harald, and he said he was going to name his new technology Bluetooth. So when out today, when we use Bluetooth on our phones or other devices, we can thank Harald for the name.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's one I didn't know. So that I thought that was fantastic. And there's something else now, actually, that would be quite relevant in today's, in the Middle Ages, they had something called patens, which were...
Yes.
Wooden lift that you put on the bottom of your shoes for obvious reasons, because the streets weren't clean. So I think
that's right.
You and I could get together a joint venture and we could start selling these.
But yeah, those were very practical devices when a time when you didn't have much sanitation or any sanitation, and people just dumped their waste in the streets. So the patents definitely kept you a little cleaner.
So when you were doing this research, I mean, did you actually get to go and, you know, visit some museums, look at their collections of some of the artifacts they had?
I wish. Unfortunately, the time frame for these books is very tight, and there's so much material to cover that I usually rely mostly on books and scholarly articles, and then online. You know, there are a lot of good sources for museums in their collection, so that was very helpful. But it would be ideal to be able to go to some of these countries and see these things in person, but there was no budget for that.
Well, you know, they have to send you on a book signing tour to some of these places.
That would be nice too. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest it to the higher ups over there at Nat Geo.
Very good.
Because I always have a lot of suggestions for them, including...
You probably have more clout than me, too.
Well, you know, I always tell when I talk to anybody over there in the upper echelons that they have to make November Nat Geo month, because that is a month that I always recommend to people that they get a Nat Geo book when they go to Thanksgiving Day. bring along a Nat Geo book, because that is the best gift. A Nat Geo book for any age is actually the best gift, because the one thing I learned in 20 years of bargain hunting at garage sales is that you will never find a Nat Geo book at a garage sale. People will sell everything, but Nat Geo books are treasures.
That's nice to know. It's nice to know that these books will be saved and enjoyed for decades. I like that idea.
Well, I mean, look at this book that you've created here. First of all, the quality is fantastic. Lovely. It just feels so good. The paper is so good. The research is extraordinary. The photographs are fantastic. Your stories are also fascinating. People will be reading these. I have my dad's, the National Geographic magazines that we got. My dad started getting them, I think, in 1953. And I still have a lot of those magazines because I love them. And, you know, they're timeless.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the beautiful things about National Geographic is that they're as you mentioned, the photography, I mean, the images in general, the artwork, they're just so colorful and just draw you in. And I think that was one thing that, you know, writing for kids, it's having those engaging visuals really helps to get their attention.
And the maps and the questions.
Yes.
All of that. The illustrations are particularly good in this one. I mean, getting all the character faces, looking at Charlemagne and looking at, you know, I just got a kick out of everybody. The Vikings, I love the Viking ones.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously these are geared for kids, but I always like to think that there's enough in there to keep adults entertained and hopefully educate them a little bit, too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is the kind, when we talk about, you know, a coffee table book, this is the kind of book that you want right there on your coffee table as you're watching television and they're talking about something. They're talking about a place. You just pick it up and you look. They're talking about India. Look up India here. They're talking about, you know, something. They can find it in here. And it just adds to that whole knowledge base.
Yes, and I think, you know, again, to try to appeal for kids, we try to keep the text, you know, in big chunks that are each individual topics. And I think, as you're saying, you could just kind of pick it up and flip through, and on any page there's a little tidbit that's going to catch your eye, and hopefully it'll be entertaining.
And hopefully people will have, actually, I hate to say this, I don't know if it's possible, but you could actually have conversations with other people about what you've learned.
Yes, that would be nice.
I mean, wouldn't that be nice? Actually, when you get together and you have something to talk about, you can actually say, you know, put down your cell phone, for goodness sakes. I'm going to tell you what they were eating in the Middle Ages, and you won't believe it. Right?
Right, yes. And, well, speaking of eating, this is another one of the facts that I really enjoyed about King Henry III. He had a dinner, and I don't know who he was entertaining, how many people were there, but there was a record that he served 70,000 fish and 70,000 loaves of bread. So that must have been quite a meal.
Well, exactly. This is what is so much fun about this. And I love the, when you have all these little sort of blurby things and the maps are excellent.
Yeah, well, you'd expect that from National Geographic. And you know, I don't see the maps until, you know, for probably late in the process, but I'm always really pleased to see how they've come up with and how they take my word and translate it into that great image.
And of course, one of the important things here, of course, a trip to the fair. Nowadays, you know, we're used to fairs and we're used to going to amusement parks, and people might not realize that they were having amusements back then.
Right. I mean, you know, there would be, what was the one that I saw? It was about, there was the wrestling matches, and the winner would walk away with a ram. So that was a very practical prize, I'm sure, at that time. And then you had entertainment for the jousts, you know, and there was always music and jesters and things like that. So, yeah, there was lots to do to entertain yourself. Although they didn't have something in their pocket like we do with our phones, but people came together and did things together for entertainment. So that's kind of nice.
And I just want to remind everybody, this is for my listeners, because Lee Child and his brother Andrew Child have been on Joy on Paper many times. And, of course, they write the Jack Reacher books. And the new Reacher series is starting. And I want them to know, when they're watching Reacher, that both of the boys went to schools that were started in the Middle Ages.
Wow.
Andrew Child went to St. Albans, which was started, I think, in 987. And I mean, and I've been to that school many times. I've visited many times, and it is so. It was certainly one of the oldest schools in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you go to these schools and you see they started in the Middle Ages, and they're still going strong.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great.
Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And the name of the book is Weird But True, Know It All, The Middle Ages by Michael Bergen. Of course, everybody, if you have not gone to Nat Geo Kids website, you really must. It is a fantastic website. There are games, there are stories, there are videos. So it's a wonderful place to go. And Michael, I think you're a great writer. You really put this together. And I want to, again, tell people, you have a website to promote your children's book.
Oh, thank you. I do have a website. It's michaelbergen.net, and that's B-U-R-G-A-N.
Okay. People go there because, I can highly recommend all of his stories about historical characters because I love Teddy Roosevelt. So, again,
thank you
so much for being on Joy on Paper. I know that you work for Nat Geo, but I know also that you're having a lot of fun.
That's true. I'm very lucky to do what I do.
Okay. Are you announcing what the next book is?
It'll be on government, all levels of U.S. government, from the federal down to the local. That'll have some weird stuff, right?
Okay. Now, that's going to be the weirdest of all. Anyway, it was fantastic talking to you, Michael.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Same here.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
And everyone, please, if you don't have a child in your life, get this book and send it to a kid in a hospital. Kid will have so much fun, hours and hours of fun at your local children's hospital or Shriners or St. Jude. The kids need books. Please, please send them this. All you have to do is go online. It takes a minute and the price is ridiculous. It's for the quality of this book. And this book really will last 100 years because it is top quality printing. Anyway, everybody, always, a Nat Geo book is the perfect gift. And I hope that if you're having a wedding this spring, you will turn a Nat Geo book into a yearbook for the wedding. Okay, bye-bye.